Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to today's show. We're taking a break from our normal podcasting themes about pen testing and GDPR, CCPA, and so forth. We're going to be talking about the SolarWinds attack. Now, it's been all over the news for many weeks now. In fact, it's evolved, and every week we learn more and more about this nation-state attack, threat attack that happened. And it's clear at this point that the U.S. intelligence agencies, and FBI, you know, CIA, whoever, they've identified Russia's main hacker. Now, before we go into the subject, Greg will be the cybersecurity expert answering all my questions this morning. And Greg and I, we have gone a long way together. We have done numerous podcasts together. In fact, he co-authored our last book on web app security testing, and he is a contributor to my new and upcoming book on cyber risk and cybersecurity insurance policies. Greg, thank you for your time this morning.
Hey, Bravi, as always, it's really a pleasure to be here today on this great podcast that you do.
Well, thank you, Greg. Greg, before we start, can you kind of remind our audience of like what you, your company and what you do and so forth and so forth?
Yeah, sure, sure. I'd love to do that. Thanks, Ravi, for the opportunity. So I'm the CEO of WebCheck Security, which is a world-class penetration testing and CISO services company. What I mean by that is our FISO program, or Fractional Information Security Officer program, allows companies, most of whom don't have chief information security officers, to actually lease one of ours for a fraction of the cost, a fraction of the time, but to accomplish great things in their cybersecurity program management, risk and compliance analysis, and an ongoing safety of their organization cyberwise. So that's what WebCheck Security does and provides. We started in 2018 after a long sales and executive management career, and had been fortunate to run into some fantastic practitioners and partners over the years, and we've pulled it all together into a world-class cyber services company. So thanks for asking, Robbie, and that's what WebCheck Security does.
Awesome. Now, Greg, can you elaborate on what you've learned so far from your FBI briefings? Obviously, you know, you're a big pen tester. You've got other colleagues that are in pen testing and so forth. What have you learned from yourself and from your colleagues?
Well, that's a good question, good way to start this podcast, Robbie. So, as you know, the recent SolarWinds attack has been all over the news now for months. You know, it started last year. And it was stealth. Nobody knew what was going on. And every week we learn more about this pernicious and deep-seated nation-state attack. And so we'll start today's podcast by talking about the concept of nation-state attacking us. It's, you know, often you think it's the guy in the dark room that plays video games and, you know, eats burritos and whatnot. But, but really there's an organization out there, organizations, and a lot of them are funded and backed and managed by nation states. So it's, you know, we have a lot more information about this attack too. You and I started talking and planning about this particular podcast quite some time ago. And as of today, I've got even more information that we'll share to our listeners. But bottom line is Russia was identified as the attacker. Now, as far as FBI briefings, this was not something until a couple of years ago, Robbie, that was on my radar. I mean, had you said to me, hey, Greg, did you know we're being hacked by different, you know, nations? I would have said, well, sure, I'm sure that happens. But the extent of how much it happens, my eyes were open when I went to an FBI briefing a couple of years ago. And for example, to what I learned, and I've got all kinds of documentation on this, China, for example, they're one of the biggest offenders, of course, one of the biggest superpowers. And so they have almost unlimited resources to throw at this. To achieve their strategic goals, China relies on various state-directed plans. And these plans provide insight into the kinds of intellectual property and the trade secrets that that they want to target and they seek to acquire from foreign sources. So at present, China's government has as many of 100 concrete written plans guiding their foreign acquisition in science and technology, and their scale and influence are very impressive. Two of the most important among these are plans that include their five-year plan and something called the Made in China 2025 plan. Now, as you can imagine, Robbie, that means that by 2025, they want to do certain things. And keep in mind, I'm getting this from the FBI. This is not necessarily research I've done myself, but the FBI and its machinery has very carefully researched, and their, you know, intelligence agencies have come up with this. So they listed 10 domestic Chinese industries in which they want to seek to significantly reduce their reliance on foreign-produced technology. And they want to get to developing 70% of all the components of these projects for themselves. So, for example, here's the list. Computer, numerical control, machine tools and robotics, aerospace equipment, electric power equipment, marine engineering equipment and high-tech ships, agricultural equipment, advanced rail transportation equipment, new materials, energy-efficient and new energy automobiles, and finally, biomedicine and high-performance medical instruments. I mean, is that not amazing to you, Ravi, that they're that specific and that well thought out and well planned in the technology that they want to pilfer?
Yeah, it's well, what's even scarier is that there, as you said, that they're that specific. That raises really, you know, some big red flags right there to me. But so it's great. So it's clear that there are threats from other countries, as we just talked about China. So what is the SolarWinds Orion attack? I mean, like, who is SolarWinds and what is Orion? Who are the targets and who was affected? Can we start from there?
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk about, so since we got into the nation state attacks, the reason we planned that for this podcast is because it's clear that Russia was behind this attack. And that's very unfortunate. So first of all, the SolarWinds attack was a clear nation state launched attack. And it was, as far as all intelligence that, you know, I've read about that our government has come up with, it was originated from. Now, so the attack specifically affected the SolarWinds Orion platform, like the constellation Orion. And so I guess, you know, the first question is, you know, who is SolarWinds? What is Orion? And of course we'll go from there. So first of all, Ravi, SolarWinds is a very well-known large utility software manufacturer that's used by large organizations, government managed service providers, and they provide all kinds of different software services. Mostly, they're well known for their platform monitoring, the ability to remotely push code, manage machines, manage and monitor endpoints and things of that nature. And they've been very successful about it. A plug for SolarWinds here. It's unfortunate that, you know, an incident like this kind of has thrown questions on SolarWinds and their company, but they are a good company. And of course, whenever an organization is hacked, they get better, right? So you got to believe that SolarWinds is going to increase their security and enhance the security surrounding their development and software deployment practices. But anyway, that's what SolarWinds is. That's who they are. That's what they do. Now, Orion is a product. It's a platform. It's a powerful, scalable infrastructure monitoring and management platform that was designed to simplify IT administration for on-premises, for hybrid environments, software as a service environments, and to do it all kind of in a single pane of glass, if that makes sense. So that's who SolarWinds is. They're a hundred million. I should have looked up their valuation. It could be a billion, but they're a very large company. And Orion is a very powerful, scalable infrastructure program.
Just one quick question off the side here, Greg, if you don't mind my asking. The Orion platform, can it be deployed remotely also? Like, for example, if an MSP is going to be using this, can they deploy this onto their clients on-prem or their cloud infrastructure? Because I thought I had read some articles that can be done, if I'm correct.
Yeah, and I'm not an expert, but my understanding is that it can be deployed on-prem, that, or it can, you know, there are probably components that are SaaS deployed. So what's happening is many MSPs or managed service providers use the platform that they have licensed an instance of, whether it's in the cloud or they deploy it in a hybrid or on-prem environment. They use that to reach out then remotely. Obviously, ports have to be open in their clients' firewalls and systems, and then they can manage those network systems and endpoints. They can push product. They can monitor them. Does that answer the question, Robbie?
Oh, yeah. So now, Greg, how did the bad actors get into this attack, and how were they able to leverage their malicious payloads?
Well, that is a good question. And obviously, more and more information is coming out about this all the time. There's a lot that goes into a hack. You know, some of it is social engineering. I don't know, whether there was a serious, specific social engineering action that went on. But you got to believe that these Russian actors were doing some reconnaissance long before they actually deployed some of the malware. And I'll talk about that. But essentially, so here's what happened at a high level. The hackers managed to access a system that SolarWinds used to put together updates to its Orion product or platform. And now we're getting that from an SEC filing that they put in on December 14th. Obviously, they are a publicly traded company. So as they've discovered relevant information, of course, that has to be public knowledge. So that it affects investors, right? So the bad actors got into that access system. They inserted malicious code through that system into what would otherwise be, legitimate software updates. And so that affected not only themselves, but, you've heard of, no doubt, Ravi, of FireEye. That company rings a bell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're a large cybersecurity provider. So themselves and other MSPs, large and small, were providing service to many government organizations and other organizations. And here's some updated information. So this just came out, Ravi, on the 4th, which is just a couple of days ago as of the recording of this podcast. And so in one blog post, Microsoft has described newly detected malware that has ties to the SolarWinds supply chain attack. So Microsoft was affected by this as well. They've named it Goldmax is a command and control backdoor. Another one called Cybot helps achieve persistence on targeted machines and downloads and executes payloads. So the derivatives of this were how they were able to get in and replace code and insert injectable, executable code. And then there's another one called Goldfinder, which is an HTTP tracer tool. And then just a couple notes, the new strains were used in the later stages of the attack in August and September of 2020. So FireEye has provided details about the command and control backdoor, which it calls Sun Shuttle. So lots of new information, and they've even named these different malware variants. For our listeners, if they're interested in reading more about this, here are some common sources that are good. Darkreading.com, threatpost.com, scmagazine.com, bleepingcomputer.com. I love that URL. Of course, Microsoft.com. and of course FireEye.com. So, you know, if the listeners of this cast want to kind of open the hood and really dive under the covers on some of these attacks, they can.
Yeah, I'm actually familiar with all these websites too, and I think I find Dark Reading to be the most authoritative source, I think, on the SolarWinds attack. I've seen some really good articles, and I think their content is very unbiased and very kind of like vendor neutral. They just tell it the way it is. So I'm a big fan of Dark
Reading. That's good to know. Yeah, good to know. I'll have to spend more time there.
In fact, I used some of their content as source work for my Humble Hugs, too, just kind of an idea of what to write. But anyway, so Greg, who was affected by the SolarWinds? As I said, you know, I've been doing reading on this. It seems like all facets of the government, individuals, companies, but really, who was the most impacted of this?
Well, and that's the scary thing. Have to add a scary backdrop there. But it affected so many people. So not only was the SolarWinds infrastructure affected, but there were about 425. Get this, what I'm about to tell you is pretty significant. Around 425 of the U.S. Fortune 500. The top 10 U.S. telecommunications companies, the top 5 U.S. accounting firms, so you're talking, you know, Deloitte, Ernst & Young, PwC, this is the part that's scary, all branches of the military, the Pentagon, the State Department, as well as hundreds of universities and colleges worldwide. Is that enough for you, Robbie? Does that kind of the question is almost who wasn't affected by this attack, right?
I mean, I'm blown away by it, Greg. I mean, yeah, we keep reading about cyber attacks and hacks, but not to this degree. Oh my God! Wow, this is worse than I originally had thought.
Well, it harkens back, Ravi, to you remember when the Office of Personnel Management was hacked with the federal government, and you know all of those records, you know. Were made available. And that's scary because some on the payroll, what if they were spies? What if they were other intelligence and military officers? And now, you know, the Chinese, or I believe it was Chinese that did that attack, they have those records. But just this is the next level of unprecedented. When not only the military and all of its branches, the State Department, hundreds of colleges, university, top Fortune 500 companies, because they're using this platform. Wow. I mean, what do you say to that? Just wow.
Well, it's I got to be honest with you. I was in shock when I read about the attack of the critical infrastructure on the water supply system in Florida when they tried to poison it. But this is totally mind-blowing.
Right.
I mean, it just totally blows me away. In fact, I'm getting goosebumps right now as we're talking about it. Now, Greg,
yeah, and there's more than that too, Robbie. I mean, it's an entire supply chain attack that allowed hackers to access the network of, you know, also we've mentioned FireEye. So they're, think of that as a supply chain. They're a U.S. cybersecurity firm, and yeah, that was reported first by the Washington Post back on. Quite some time ago, that APT-29 or Cozy Bear, which is the hacking arm of Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service, the SVR, that they had gotten in and hacked. And I think as forensic investigators and FireEye themselves and Microsoft started digging into it, they realized, it's more pervasive than that. It's coming from the SolarWinds supply chain. Wow, again, scary.
Well, Greg, do you think there could have been other nation-state actors involved with this, like maybe Iran or North Korea, perhaps? Or why is the fingers always going to, like, Russia and China? It always seems like that's the case. What about other countries that have perpetrated leverage attacks against us, too?
Well, I mean, that's an observant question. I don't know, and if there was some teaming up there, I don't know that we'd know about it. But it is conceivable that other countries like Iran, that they have some resources, North Korea that dedicates resources to do this, might have been involved. They also have hacking divisions. I think every major nation probably does. Yeah, but the reality is that Russia and China have the resources to put into this. But the reality is they don't want to share. I mean, China wants to have this information. I highly doubt they would share it, or rather Russia, who hacked us in this case, I highly doubt they would want to share that information with the Chinese. So who knows, right? Who knows?
Well, Greg, now that we're understanding, you're just starting to understand the magnitude of this attack, the bottom line is, what do we do to protect ourselves? I mean, this is some very serious and scary stuff. What can we do, given your knowledge as one of the best pen testing companies in the U.S., as far as I'm concerned? What can we do? What's your expert advice?
Well, thanks for the plug there. We do have some world-class analysts in our company, and I asked them this question, Robbie. In fact, they're the angels of the cybersecurity industry. There's our angel sound. But basically, I have some guys that we're affiliated with that worked for the NSA. In fact, they did some of the nation-state hacking only with white hats on. Some of them do manage threat hunting, and that's a topic we've talked about before, monitoring and detection and response. And so I asked one of our key analysts, Marshall, I said, what advice would you give regarding this recent SolarWinds attack? And, what can organizations do about it? And he kind of deep dived into some very specific things. And what I'm going to do is go through some of these things. And I just recommend that our listeners reach out to you, and you and I can provide a more comprehensive list. But he said first, he said, we recommend quarantining any vulnerable SolarWinds product from your network. And if possible, take a forensic image to investigate for any indication of compromise before updating to the latest version. And then re-imaging of all OS's hosting instances of SolarWinds is recommended. Now, this was advice he gave several months ago. I would imagine that organizations that know about this attack, that they've probably done this step already, that they've reinstalled. However, did they get everything? Is there still malware there? Are there still backdoors? If not, they can reach out to us, and we'd be happy to do a hybrid, what we call a hybrid forensic, not necessarily for court purposes if they're unaware of any data breaches, but we can do a combination penetration test and a sleuthing or splunking exercise to go in and see if we can find instances of malware, which would cause them to want to re-image their hosts and servers and so forth. So that's number one. Second, he said, reset all credentials used by the SolarWinds software. Make sure there's a rotation policy for these accounts and enforce long, complex passwords. And that's always a good practice, isn't it, Robbie? I even find on my banking accounts, on others, I have a password that I like to use that's about 16 characters long. And for every character you add, it adds hours or days in terms of, even quantum computing, in terms of how soon a computer could crack that password. It's an order of magnitude. So resetting passwords on affected accounts to longer passwords, enabling multi-factor authentication would be critical. And then he kind of finishes up with a couple of other things. Number one, he says, after quarantining and or reimaging, search through your network logs for any device that has called out to specific domains used as command and control servers. So this kind of Ravi is a plug for a managed detection and response solution and a managed threat hunting solution. And that's different than just what you call NOC operations or network a network operations center that's managing uptime of your servers. You know, this is kind of a blatant self-plug, but there are many companies that do this, but we can provide managed detection and response solutions for companies that will that have specific heuristic algorithms or AI, if you will, that will say, hey, something's not right here on this server. They'll send out an alert, and then an analyst like Marshall, who provided us with this information, they can go out and look at very specific things. So, for example, he gave a list of different domains that command and control servers might reach out to, things like zupertech.com, panhardware.com, databasegalore.com, income update, high database, websitetheme.com, freescansonline.com. There's literally a dozen of those. And I won't list all those here. Again, if listeners are interested, they can reach out to us and we'll provide them this list. But, you know, the point I'm getting at, Ravi, is this, is that it's easy for Marshall to say, well, you need to search through your network logs for any device that's calling out to these specific domains. But if you've got the technology installed and a managed detection and response system, a SIM or Security Information Event Manager system, then these things, when they happen and something calls out to one of these domains, it will alert you and you can kind of nip it in the bud as opposed to letting it go on for a period of time. Does that make sense?
Yep. It sure does.
And then finally, Ravi, he did mention one more thing, if I may. He said, moving forward, we strongly recommend using an intrusion detection system with the latest Snort or Suricata signatures that can detect this threat actor and others. So there are real-time protections you can have coming into your FireEye or to your firewall in the terms of information or intrusion detection systems, IDS. And then there are also the endpoint detection response and managed detection response SIM solutions that can be deployed in organizations to make sure that these things are nipped in the bud and that they're detected. So anyway, those are some really practical and good advisements from one of our web check practitioners, Marshall.
Excellent. One more thing I want to point out, Greg, is when it comes to AI tools and artificial intelligence, that's a very big buzzword that's being bandied about right now in cybersecurity.
Right.
And there are a lot of hackers that claim, oh, yeah, our solution's AI. I just want to caution to our listeners that make sure you talk to a very reputable vendor that actually does AI, okay? Because there's just so many, it's kind of like saying you're a, I don't know what a good analogy is for that, but you just got to be careful of what's out there. Just make sure you do your due diligence. And really, in that regard, AI can be a very good tool because the one thing is, I'm just a little bit off the cuff, is that IT security teams today, given the magnitude of the SolarWinds attack, they're inundated, plus with the work from home stuff and remote workforce, of trying to filter through all these alerts and warning and messages that they get from their SIM product. And what AI can do is it can help filter through all the false positive throughout what seems to be just a fake warning and let the IT security team kind of then look at what's real and triage that up to the incident response team. So AI is a good tool, but just make sure you're dealing with a very good vendor, do your due diligence, and just keep in mind, whatever AI product you choose, it's going to be your responsibility to make sure that platform that you're using is kept up to date, not only in terms of its own software patches and upgrades, but that the data sets that you feed into it are robust and optimized. And that should be provided by the vendor also, or if not, they should help you do that. Because with an AI tool, it's literally garbage in, garbage out. And if you want to use that to keep track of all these, you know, cyber attacks that are coming out there, like our SolarWinds, you got to keep your data sets continuously fed into the system and optimized, so it can do a very good job predicting into the future. Those are some good points, Robbie.
If I may, you know, AI is bandied about mostly as a marketing thing. And I think it points out one very important point, that the company you deal with is as important as the technology that they deploy. So for example, with our folks, our analysts are all NSA, ex-NSA analysts that regardless of, and software is always going to have faults, right? So you can say AI until the cows come home, but the reality is software misses stuff. It's when you get some of these expert analysts that can go in and really verify false positives and cross-correlate one threat with another and really narrow in on what's going on, that the value comes into play, right? So good advice, Robbie. Watch out for AI being bandied about, and make sure the company that you're dealing with has real trained, qualified personnel.
Well, Greg, again, I just really want to reiterate to make sure that that company you're working with, that AI vendor, that they're going to help you with those data sets, or they'll refer you to another source to help you make sure that data is what you would call sanitized and cleansed. As again, you only get out as good as what you put into it. And if you put in data that's just out of date or that's skewed, your end output's going to be greatly skewed too. So that's the real thing right there. You got to really watch out for. But anyway, we can probably have a whole podcast on AI right there. But anyway, well, Greg. Right. I peruse news headlines every evening. I try to tweet out why things are relevant to the average American consumer. And it seems like, you know, we're still getting a lot of headlines and solar winds. I just want to know what your thoughts are. What is the future going to hold on to this? Are we ever going to really truly learn our lesson? Or what do you think the news headlines could come up in with the future? That more people have been impacted, here's what we need to do better. And will people listen to all this stuff?
Yeah, I think there's some positives that come out of this, Robbie. You know, it's like when you start lifting weights. I like the resistance model. your muscles get stronger. Yeah. And SolarWinds will come out of this a better company. You can bet, especially since they're publicly traded and have to report to many investors, that in their board meetings they've had to ask some hard questions. What policies, processes, and procedures are we not following? What policies, processes, and procedures do we lack? And what do we need to do in the future to prevent this kind of thing from ever happening again? And you can bet they'll be looking or have been looking at their technology as well in terms of their security operations. Do we need a better SOC operation? Do we need to implement other technologies? They probably have looked at everything from their EDR, endpoint detection and response, to their SIM technology, to their intrusion detection and prevention technologies, to the analysts that they're either hiring or outsourcing these services to, and they'll get better. I think similarly, all of the managed service providers and agencies like FireEye as a cybersecurity provider, that they'll get better. If nothing else, if they implement, you know, instead of 8 to 10 character passwords on some of their remote management platforms, in their practices, if they implement 12 and 16 character passwords and passphrases, then we're better off. So I think we do listen as a race. I think we do listen to these events that can teach us so much. Ultimately, you know, it would be easy to diss on SolarWinds and say, well, they should have known better. But as you know, Robbie, being in this cybersecurity industry for many years, anybody can be hacked at any time. There's no guarantees.
Well,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, we all are at risk, but the key is how to mitigate that risk and how to be proactive. That's really the bottom line. But Greg,
exactly.
Go ahead. No, but in closing, if someone wants to reach out to you, and if they feel that they could have been a potential victim or they want more information, what's the best way for them to contact you, like a firm or an individual or any entity?
Well, the best way is to reach out to us at getintouch@webcheckSecurity.com. That's getintouch@webcheckSecurity.com. Those emails will come to several of us to make sure we don't miss it, and we would love to talk to them. Our mantra at WebCheck Security is, you know, whom can we serve today? And we're happy just to talk and advise. And then, of course, if the situation warrants it, we're happy to engage and help them to improve their cyber posture. But again, that's getintouch@webcheckSecurity.com.
Okay. Excellent, Greg. That sounds great. Thank you for your time and have a great weekend. I look forward to having a sequel to this podcast, and hopefully that one will be about the lessons learned and how to move forward.
Well, thank you, Ravi, for inviting me. It was fun, as always. Lots of relevant discussion, and let's do it again sometime.
Sounds great. Take care.